The Rush Hour. The Rush Hour. On Cold 92.5.
Great to be here wherever I am. I always love it when I'm here. But I've never been here before. It's great to be back. I've been on the road doing comedy now for 10 years, so bear with me while I plaster on a fake smile and plow through this one more time.
Hey, oh, everybody, what is happening? Here we go. Luke Bradnam with you. Mandy Catalano, our special co-host this afternoon. All good in Mandyland?
Oh, it is, except I'm sad.
Yeah, it was.
Because you're kicking me out.
Oh, it's your last day today.
Can I say, missed opportunity. I think you guys should have done a listener's vote.
Oh.
We're going to have different co-hosts for the next 2 weeks. Vote now. And then I would have been on air going, I'll be handing out money in Pacific Fair on my first day.
That would have been a good option too. What do the listeners know? We know if you fit in or not.
I know. For all they know, it's the same person every day.
You've done a great job. You've done a great job, Mandy.
Thank you.
You'll be sweet, you know. Well, it is a weird thing.
You'll be right.
We've got a brand new co-host coming in tomorrow. I've never met her. Never met you before we started.
It's hard to do a show with someone you've never met as well, because like you're meant to sort of sound like your best mates.
Nah, but I mean, we're just sort of being transparent throughout the whole operation. Yeah. We're trying to find a replacement for Margot. You and I only met 10 minutes before we did our first show together, but we've got on well. I enjoyed working with you. I really do.
Oh, thank you. I wasn't trying to say it's hard working with you. I just meant like...
No, I know what you mean. It's hard trying to find mojo with someone. That's the thing it's sad like losing Margot because I really enjoyed working with Margot as one thing, and I really love her as a person as another. But the other sad thing that comes with it is you lose, or the show loses, that whole chunk of history together.
So it's like a breakup. No, it's like you got to start again. You got to get to know him. Like, oh, God.
Exactly. It's like, but you can't go, hey, Margot, remember that time you and I were blah, 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 because my history goes back to yesterday.
Yeah. Remember on Friday when I made that joke?
No.
Nah.
Not really. No.
What joke?
You got a great laugh though, Mandy.
Oh my God, my laugh. Okay. I've been compared to, are you ready?
Go on.
A hyena.
No.
Chickens being fed. Like, you know when you throw the food out and the chickens are like.
Really?
What else? Hyena. Did I say hyena?
You said
no,
hyena.
A witch. A witch.
No. Who's telling you this?
So many other animals. Oh, throw them at me.
Here's Mandy. Mandy after all was particularly funny one afternoon. Mandy, who told you sound like a witch?
Everyone.
No.
It's a cackle. It's like, kah, 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 kah. I know what my laugh sounds like. I just can't help it.
Nah, you got a nice laugh. It's infectious. You know, just like a disease.
Just like that rash on my lower back.
Hey, tell us the story. No one, he's not.
No one's listening.
It's not going to get back.
Is that what you were going to say?
It's not going to get back to him. Tell us your Hughesy story.
Oh, I don't care if he knows about this. So, okay. I work in the same building as Dave Hughes.
Right.
And I was pulling into I was backing into a car park in the work car park, right? And because I was reverse parking, obviously I need to be able to see out my like windows and whatnot, but it was a rainy day.
Right.
And so there were raindrops and all fog on all of my windows, so including my mirrors on the sides of my car. So I'm backing into this car spot and I can't see a frigging thing. So I'm like, oh, sorry, there's a car like trying to pass and I'm holding them up, but I'm just doing it real slowly. I'm like, thinking, so I'd rather go slow and not hit my car than, you know, please this person.
And meantime, you're holding this person up.
I'm holding this person up. Anyway, I eventually back in and I go to give the sorry wave. And I've never seen anyone death stare me. Like, it wasn't a quick look to the side. As he drove past, he held his head facing me for like what felt like 3 years. And he's looking at me with this death stare. And I'm like, and mind you, I've met Hughesy probably 3 times. So he's not overly familiar with who I am. But I've had him like in the studio and stuff before. So I didn't know if he knew me or not. So I start laughing and I'm like, oh, so sorry. And I'm waving my hand up at him. Going, so sorry. And he did this like smile with his mouth, but his eyes were saying, you piece of...
that's a real skill.
Like he wanted to kill me.
Like, that's a real skill of Mandy's, that she can turn one of the guys that probably most renowned for comedy in this country into an angry individual.
Evil man. Yes. And I haven't seen him since. I'm nervous to bump into him because I'm just scared. I don't know whether to address it and be like, oh, sorry about that time in the car park. And he's at risk of him going, who are you? you anyway.
No, I know. He's not getting the he's not driving it anymore. He's getting the chopper to avoid people like
yeah,
you.
Yeah, probably.
That's what has happened. Hey, coming up on the catch-up this afternoon, Charlie Robinson got engaged yesterday at Bathurst. We'll get into that for you. Mandy is, look, she's got problems with people.
I'm right here. I'm right here.
She's got problems with people shoving their big nose into her business. Yeah. And I think a few of our audience will be able to relate what you're talking to with regards to that. I've been scammed by a bank and I'm furious.
I'm furious. Is crazy in so many ways.
What's the etiquette with plastic surgery? We'll get to the bottom of that for you. And Nelson Asolomono.
You did well.
How about that?
That was good.
How about getting that name out? He got into a punch-up Bogan style in Bali and we're so proud of him. But we'll get into that and a whole heap more for you in the catch-up and it's starting for you right now.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Luke, I've been married for 3.5 years now. And there's one question that I really wish people would stop asking me. It feels like daily people are saying to me, "So when are you going to have? When are you going to start having kids?"
Yeah, right. I know, Mandy, because as soon as someone gets engaged,
yes.
The question is,
when's the wedding?
Yes, and as soon as you have the wedding, then it goes to that one. So you've got 3 years of that.
Yep, and then apparently when you have your first kid, it's when's the next one coming?
Yeah, you're right. People are really forward in asking questions like that, aren't?
This is the thing, right? This is why it frustrates me so much. The first reason is because it doesn't actually impact anyone else's life if I have kids or not, right? Also, it feels like there's a lot of pressure from my family. Like, my parents are quite a bit older. This is the thing. They had me when my mum was 38.
Right.
So when she says, like, "Oh, I'm getting old, you know, when are you going to have kids?" I feel like saying, "It's your fault for having me at 38. Yeah, right. I'm not even 30 yet. Like, settle down."
But not only that, it's all about your mum. Like, it's not
exactly. And, like, my husband, Mike, his grandma once said to me, "You better have kids before I die." I was like, "What? Why? Sorry, but..." Like, I mean, bless you, but no, like, I'm not going to revolve my life around when you're going to, you know, leave the earth. Like, it's just not, so, I don't know, it just frustrates me.
But Mandy, like, so it's not just sort of you're not sort of, it bugs you a little bit. Like, it actually bothers you.
No, it does. It bothers me because, firstly, I'm not even 30 yet and people are making me feel like I'm 100 and that I'm running out of time, which I'm not. But also, what people might not realise is that it's actually really rude because a lot of people... So I'm not trying to have kids, right? But I do fear that once I start trying, I might not be able to fall pregnant straight away. That is so common. That,
right.
And it's a thing a lot of people face. My best friend has been trying to get pregnant for 2 years. She's had IVF failed twice, and it is so heartbreaking for her when she gets asked, because she's been married for about 5 or 6 years
right.
now. And whenever people say to her, you've been married ages, why haven't you had a kid yet? It's soul destroying because she doesn't want to sit there and explain and go through the whole story of, you know, I've been trying and it's really heartbreaking. And I also have another friend who she's had one child. And she has had really bad postnatal depression after having her first child. And people ask her all the time, "When are you going to have your second?"
Right.
And what happens is it makes her feel this guilt, like she should be having a second child because it's selfish not to. And, you know, she's a bad person for not coping with the first. And I understand that there's no ill intention.
Yeah,
when
I was about
asks.
To say that no one's intentionally being rude or trying to upset you. They're just, and you know what? Mandy, they probably don't even care what the answer is.
Exactly.
They're probably just making conversation.
I know, and that's the thing. So the reason I'm saying this is not to tell everyone off who's ever asked that question, because I'm sure I've done it in the past as well. I've stopped now, but it's more just to inform you, like, there might be things that people are going through that they don't necessarily want to sit there and delve into. It's like if someone, you know, for example, I know this is a really drastic comparison, but just to get the point across, like if someone lost their partner, for example, right, you wouldn't say to them like, "Oh, so have you started dating yet?"
Mm-hmm.
Because you know it's insensitive, you know it's a sore spot, you know it's a trigger for them, right?
Yes, right.
You just wouldn't go there. You just kind of avoid that, especially if it's just making chit-chat. So same sort of thing. Just assume that someone... either doesn't have kids because they don't want to, or they don't have kids because they're trying and they can't.
Keep your big nose out of someone else's business
exactly.
is what you're saying, Mandy.
Yes, just next time, just stop and think, you know, I don't know what's going on, so it's best just not to ask, I think.
Jeez, Brixie, can you make a mental note for me, mate? don't ask Mandy about her kids.
Right? Nothing, no.
To answer your question, for another few years, just... Back off.
Back off.
Give me 3 years
and
at least.
Shut up. Hey, and good on you, Mandy. No, you raise a bloody good point. And I'd chuck it out there for anyone that's unemployed as well, because I know when I lost my job once, and people were like, hey, yeah, what are you doing now? I'd stay indoors so that I didn't get that question, so I can really relate, even though I'm not a woman, Mandy. Men get questions like that too.
I know.
Good point.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Luke, you know when someone has had plastic surgery or any kind of work done, really, it kind of confuses me about how to treat it. Like, do you say anything? Do you not? And when they deny it, like, no, I've never had any work done, and it's clear that they've had work done, you're kind of like, but why? Just tell us. Like, it's so obvious.
I know a dude, actually, who I reckon recently just had, well, I don't reckon, he definitely just had his teeth whitened. And
oh my God, there's nothing to be ashamed of. Just say, yes, I've had my teeth whitened.
Have you?
Just say it. Well, I mean, they've gone a bit crap now because it was years ago, but still.
But I looked at him and needed sunglasses, right? And and I've gone, oh, that look, and actually, I'm not knocking the dude. He looked good. I went, oh, you get your teeth whitened. No. No.
Oh, don't deny it. There's an episode of Friends where Ross has, like, they glow in the dark. Was it like that?
No, it was pretty bad.
Well, yeah, this famous reality TV star, an American singer, her name's Aubrey O'Day. If you haven't heard of her before, just Google her. You'll see what I mean. She, not to be mean, but she kind of looks like a blow-up doll.
Right.
Because
it's
she's really obvious. She's had so much done to her face, right? And she's saying, the headlines all today are that she's denying that she's had any plastic surgery.
Yeah, right.
Now, look at her nose in the before and after shots. Like, come on. Well, you can't... Yeah.
But hang on a second. You early in the show, you're saying, oh, you know, like, you hate it when people ask you if you're when you're going to have kids. Is it rude to then go to someone... Oh, but mind you, I'm thinking about it. Like, it's really obvious when someone's had a breast enlargement or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll tell you from a flip side, Mandy, you know, like, it's really difficult as a dude. And I've just got a real rule with this. And that is, I would never, ever ask someone if they've had plastic surgery, or I'd never ask someone if they're pregnant. And I don't care. The baby's head would have to be crowning.
Yes, okay, that's fair. You don't have to ask people. But what I was going to say is, like, if it comes up in conversation where people are like, yeah, no, I've never had anything done, people often say, who have had lots of work done, they'll often say, like, yeah, no, me either. It's like, why? Who cares? I dye my hair blonde. I'm not going to tell you that's natural. I wear a fake, see this ponytail that I've got on?
Yeah.
That's all fake hair. Because I don't have a lot of hair. Yeah. So I'll tell you, like, I don't care. I've had my teeth whitened. If I had fillers under my eyes a while ago, they've gone now. That's why I've got bags under my eyes. But at the time when people said to me, hey, man, you look really fresh today, I wouldn't be like, yeah, thanks. I'd be like, it's the fillers.
It's like going up to someone who's just had dreadlocks chopped off their hair and they've got a crew cut and going, did you get a haircut? No. Yeah. No, I haven't had a haircut.
That's what I mean. Just own it. But I'd love to know on 13 2710, if you've had any kind of plastic surgery or work done, do you want us to compliment it? Like, if you've just gotten a new pair of boobs, don't you want us to say, hey, nice
knockers?
Maybe not.
You know, someone once said to me, they said, have you just had a facelift? I said, no. And they said, yeah, didn't think so. That's what they said. I don't
know. You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.
Mandy, I've got to tell you about how bloody inconvenienced I've been in the last sort of couple of days.
Is it? Wait, it's got nothing to do with me, does it?
Nah, not at all.
Just coincidence that I've been here the last couple of days.
Mandy, I've loved working with you the last couple of days. But no, certain things have started happening at my place. For example, my Netflix is not working all of a sudden, right? Oh. And then this other thing I subscribe to is not working all of a sudden.
This other thing? That sounds dodgy.
Oh, no, it's just an app that I've got, right?
Stuff.
And, so, yep. And then all of a sudden, anything I've subscribed to has not worked. And then I sat around last night and for ages was trying to work out what my drama with Netflix was. Eventually it comes up that my credit card's not working, and then I work out that my credit card has been stopped, and I don't know why.
Why aren't the bank, like, contacting you?
Bank never contacted me. I ring the bank last night. I'm on hold with Westpac for 35 minutes while I'm being told how important my call is.
Oh, God.
And what a valuable customer I am to them, and how they understand that I'm busy, but they'll be with me soon.
I always yell at those people I'm, like, on hold somewhere where someone can hear me.
After 35 minutes, they started giving me a time, and they said, your call will be answered in 25 minutes. And I'd already been on hold for 35 minutes. And
or
I just
35 minutes.
I just hung up. I just hung up. And so I eventually ring them back today and I go through the whole process. I was on hold for 45 minutes this morning before they finally answered. And when they finally did, they said, your card's been compromised. You've got some, they've stopped it because I've had someone rack up nearly $3,000 on my account using my card.
What?
Someone has bought all of these purchases and it started with like a single, I think the first one was like for $17, then it went for $75. Then there's one for $1,700.
How's you not noticing till your Netflix gets switched off? I mean, what are they paying this guy?
No, it's all
he's like,
credit.
What's wrong with me? Netflix has no idea what's going on in the account.
It's all on credit.
Yeah, okay,
they've all just whacked all it up. Right. And then I'm just looking at it and now it's all been passed off to the fraud squad.
Yeah, okay.
And then they're like, and we'll see if we can get your money back for you. And
I'm
like,
they will. Usually banks are pretty good with that, especially the big ones. What happened? Why did you...
So I start going through with it. I said, what have I done that has made my card, you know, for it to be compromised? And she said, we don't know. She said, what they think they do now is there's businesses that just keep running numbers until they get a hit on a credit card. And then once they...
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah.
They just keep flicking random numbers into a machine.
Yeah, it's got to work eventually.
And
smart.
It could be just that, but it's all come out of America. And then... It was so, like, some of it was like, she's like, let me run through these with you. It was, and these are like legitimately like the name.
Sexy,
so like,
Land. No, like, oh no, that was me.
It was like, Y7K is for $1,700. I was like, I have no idea what that one is. And then there was one sus one that I had to go, no, that was me. But then, but most of them were just, all of the ones that she thought were sus.
Were you?
Were sus, except for one of them, where I had to put my hand up and go, no, I am actually. I did buy that one.
What was it? Reveal.
No, it was in bundle, I can tell you that much. Okay.
What was it?
No, you don't need to know. It's the Rush Hour.
Oh, come on.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Over the weekend, an Aussie got into trouble in Bali. Oh, what a shock.
Oh, what? What do you mean? That's never happened.
What a shock. It was the Melbourne Storm. So I guess the Melbourne Storm are over there having their end of year Mad Monday celebrations or whatever. And then they've got this big hooah that plays for him. He's a big prop forward. He's the enforcer. Nelson Asofa Asolomono is his name.
Well, you do well with that. Well, you've said it 800 times today, though, haven't you?
I'm a rugby league head, so I've, you know, but it is a tricky name. But anyway, what happened was one of the boys was somehow just king hit out the front of a nightclub. Oh. His teammate was king hit by another dude. And then this Nelson has just gone over, seen his teammate get king hit, and then gone and allegedly laid into the dude that hit his mate. Now, what do you think about that, Mandy? I mean, it's a tough one because he was kind of protecting his mate.
I understand getting someone, like pulling them away from the situation, completely fine.
Right.
I think hitting back is just, like, you're fueling violence with violence. Mm. I don't like that idea. If that was my husband, for example, that saw his mate getting punched and he went to run towards it, I would flip out.
Right.
Because I'd just be like, pull the guy away, yes, but don't go and hit him.
It's then you're as bad as he is, I guess.
Yeah, and it's also not going to solve anything. It's just,
And then what happened now is the Melbourne Storm have brought Nelson back. He's going to be facing, you know, God knows what.
Yeah.
Maybe some sanctions, who knows. He's supposed to be lining up for New Zealand in test matches in the next coming weeks, but who knows what's going to happen. Meantime, the dude that king hits this bloke just goes on with his holiday.
Runs away.
He goes on with his holiday. Nelson potentially could get fined and all of this sort of stuff. So, I mean,
guys sipping bintangs and
Our rugby league players and our sports people do get held to a higher standard than the rest of the community in a lot of ways.
Well, it's because they're role models; they're meant to be setting
a
standard.
But what's funny? You mentioned this guy. You know how difficult his name is: Nelson Asofa Asolomono.
Asofa Asola Asolomono. It sounds like a, I don't know. There's something on the Lion King when he's like Asofa Asola Asolomono. That's what it reminds me of.
So we've been just collecting the different news stories that have been mentioning him. And then just going back and trying to get some, you know, different commentators pronouncing his name. We don't think it's been named the same. We don't think he's been announced the same way twice. Have a listen.
That last one. He said Arsa for Sol Lamona. And I love Siri. Siri's one's good.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Luke, I live in a pretty stereotypical 1950s household where my husband, well, I was going to say because we've accidentally started living in a 50s household because my husband makes a lot more money than I do and I happen to do more of the cooking and the cleaning.
Oh, okay.
It's pretty standard, right?
That's all right.
I really thought I was more progressive than this and I, you know, I wanted to be.
But you're a working woman. You work?
Yeah, but not that much. He works a lot harder and a lot more.
So what do you do? So do you keep the house ship shape, do you?
Well, I mean, I like to think I do. It's probably not as clean as it should be. But the thing is we've accidentally taken on these roles and that's just the way it is now, right?
Right.
And I guess being a typical woman, I'm kind of on his back for not doing enough. You know, oh, Mike, why don't you vacuum or why don't you put the dishes away or that kind of thing.
Does he do anything around the house?
He does. I don't give him enough credit. He does help me out. But the thing is, I have to tell him.
Right.
Like, I have to delegate jobs to him, which is a bit annoying. The thing is, though, in the last 2 weeks, he has actually tried to help. He's tried to do something in particular and I've ended up kind of cracking it at him. And I want to know from you if you think this is me being irrational or if you think it's fair enough that I would expect better.
Okay, good. Go on. Tell me the situation.
I am the one that does the groceries usually. Like I'm the one that buys anything that we need for around the house.
Right.
So if we're missing anything, it's assumed that I will be the one replacing it.
Right.
It's happened 3 times in the last couple of weeks where he has spontaneously just come home with something that we've needed, right? But I happen to buy that thing and I've already put it away.
Right.
Or it's literally the same day we've come home and it's like, I've already bought that. You should tell me. And he's like, well, you didn't tell me that you were going to buy it. I'm like, but it should be assumed that I'm going to buy
man.
It.
Yeah. Okay. I'm telling you right now, you're irrational.
No, but this is, okay, listen, hear me out, hear me out.
Okay.
So the first one was I did a massive fruit and veg shop. I told him a couple of days earlier, I really need to go to the supermarket. So by the time I actually got around to it, I bought all these fruit and veg. He comes home with like 2 boxes from the market. And I was like, why didn't you just say to me, honey, have you bought the fruit and veg yet? Because I'm going to stop at the market. The second one was I was saying how I wanted those, you know, those Swiffer broom things that like collect all the dust and you dispose of the thing underneath. Anyway, whatever.
No, I don't.
Just a broom thing.
Yeah, right.
I was saying that I wanted it. And he's like, and he just didn't react. I bought one 3 weeks ago and then the other day he comes home with one. I was like, it's been in the cupboard. You've seen me sweep. He's like, oh, so you said you wanted one. I was like, yeah, but just ask me first. And the last one was our dog needed a new bed, right? And I specifically said this time, I am going to buy him a new pet bed this week. Literally the same day from the same pet shop, we buy the same bed. Apparently we missed each other by 20 minutes.
I'm telling you, I don't know you guys well. I don't know you. I don't know your husband. But I'm telling you, I've worked out what your problem is. You don't need a dog bed. You don't need fruit. You don't need new dusters. You guys need to talk to one another. Right?
Yeah.
Really need
he
to talk to one another.
He needs to text me every now and then. That's all.
You're listening to the Rush Hour podcast.
Mandy Catalano has been our special guest co-host this afternoon. Got a new co-host tomorrow, Mandy.
Oh, how dare you.
I know. I feel like I'm cheating on you.
Already, I know.
In front of you. It's really weird, but I've really enjoyed having you for the last couple of days.
Oh, it's been great.
I got to tell you, just a quick story before we rack off, because I do a running group every Wednesday at the Southport Surf Life Saving Club, and I was really looking forward to Bathurst this year because what turns out one of the dudes that runs with us every Wednesday, there's about 20 of us, he's a V8 supercar driver.
Oh, wow.
Tim Slade, his name is. And I don't really get into motor racing, but just knowing someone, even I wouldn't say we're mates with him, but we just run with him every Wednesday. But just knowing someone, I was like, oh, it's going to be interesting to watch Tim this year.
Yeah, yeah.
So he crashed first lap. He didn't make the first lap.
14 seconds into the race.
Timmy!
He lasted 14 seconds. And then I was like, well,
wait, are we talking about the race?
Yeah.
Sorry.
I was like, there goes my interest in Bathurst straight out the window. But turned out that there was a great reason to watch off the track because earlier in the show, we had a great moment with Charlie Robinson, who's a great Gold Coaster and used to be on High Five, you'll remember. And an awesome moment happened just before the start of one of the races. Have a listen.
Liam Talbot, you've had a fantastic weekend so far. Pole position, a couple of second places. precursor to the big race this afternoon. How are you feeling?
Yeah, I feel even more nervous because I've got some exciting news. Charlie, I love you with all my heart. I couldn't imagine my life without you.
Oh, my God.
Will you marry me?
Oh, my goodness, really?
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Yeah. That Bathurst. Shirley, what are you thinking?
Oh, my God. I love Bathurst. I love it even more.
Happy Bathurst Day. Do you have any idea?
No. No, this is so amazing. But this is one of my favourite days of the year, so now it's my most romantic day.
Well, Charlie joins us right now. Hello, Charlie.
Congratulations.
Thank you, Mandy. Thank you, Luke. You know, I'm so embarrassed because that's the first time I've heard that back. And how many times do I say I love Bathurst, but I never say I love Liam?
That's what I was laughing at. Like, you straight away start talking about your love of Bathurst.
Yeah.
I'm so embarrassed.
That is so funny.
Liam's listening because I just started like laughing and throwing my head and arms around so he ran to me because all I'm saying is I love Bathurst.
Hey, Charlie, can you whack Liam on for 1 second? I've got a question to ask him. Whack him on.
He's right here.
Yeah.
Hey, brother. Hey, mate. Well done. That you Thanks. Make you make the rest of us
Thanks
dudes
so
look.
Much.
You make us look ordinary. But when did you plan that, mate? Talk to us about your planning.
Yeah, I've been planning in May for months, and it was all going to be at the Gold Coast, and it was Thursday the week before at Bathurst that I went last minute. And I'm like, it has to be Bathurst because it's so special for a racetrack for Charlie and I.
We've got
some good memories there.
You could hear it in your voice. I mean, when you said, you know, you're being asked about the race and you're like, there's something else I've got to say. Like, what was going through your mind? Were you just like, I need to get this out of the way right now?
Well, I've been picturing it for weeks and obviously planning it for the Gold Coast, and then with the like last minute going it has to be Bathurst, and then I've just been wanting to get to this moment because you know there's been something so exciting, and then you know I had tears coming out my eyes. I was just so excited and happy.
How'd you go in the race, mate?
I had a terrible start.
Of course you
third,
did.
And then I got a bit angry and got back to first. So that was like a better.
Oh, you're joking. You're joking.
Thank God. Because I thought, Luke, oh, my God, if he actually, like, DNF'd, like, you know, crashed out or something, he'd be like, can I have the ring back? Your bad luck. Thank God he won.
The team are going, you should get engaged every race weekend.
Oh, my God. Hey, congratulations, guys. It was the great moment of Bathurst yesterday. It was really awesome. And I know you guys just seem so happy and such a great couple together with your love of each other and your love of motor racing. And that is, when I saw it on the news last night, I just went, I'm so happy for you, Charlie, because it's such a special day given your love of Liam and your love of racing.
Yeah.
Good on you. Well done.
Thank you. You know us so well. So that is absolutely perfect. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's just been very humbling, and we've just to be able to share it with everyone, it was just even more special.
Right,
lucky
on,
she
guys.
Said yes.
Yeah, lucky she said
yeah,
yes.
Lucky.
Good on you guys.
The team are like, is it going to be okay? I went, I'm quietly confident.
Hey, well done, guys. Congratulations. There they go.
Thank
Liam, tell me.
Hey,
and that is it for us. We are racking off out of here. Mandy, you're going. You've been with us for the last couple of days, but can I say how much fun it's been? I've really enjoyed doing a couple of shows with you.
Thank you. I thought you were going to be like, all right, Mandy, get out.
Hang on, Mandy, can you hang on 1 second? Next!
Next! Thank you. Next!
No, Mandy, you've been absolutely fantastic. And thank you so much for joining us over the last couple of days. We've really appreciated it.
Thank you.
And
it's been so much fun.
Been a lot of fun. And who knows? We're searching for a replacement with Margot. And yeah, hopefully it might be Mandy. We'll have to wait and see. But
hopefully tomorrow, the girl tomorrow is no good. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed, Mandy. Hey, anyway, we'll all be back tomorrow afternoon from 3, except for Mandy.
I get it.
We'll cop you then. Bye.
You're listening to the Rush Hour Podcast.